Good morning, everybody. Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Whoa. This is episode 524. How are you guys doing today, Michael?
It's opening day.
It's opening day, baby.
How can you not be excited? You know, it's the one day a year where we get to be really, really, really optimistic about the Buckeyes. So okay. I'm embracing that today. I have been in a good mood all day.
All right, Derpy, how you doing, man?
I'm feeling great. I'm ready to book those World Series tickets.
All right. Yeah, guys, the Pittsburgh Pirates, of course, they start today along with all the other teams, except for a couple. There's a couple teams that don't play till tomorrow, Milwaukee being one of them. But we'll get into the Pirates in just a sec because we do have opening day. We have the Pittsburgh Penguins back in action tonight. We got the March Madness continuing today. All kind of cool things, but I am going to start with the little Pittsburgh Steelers, guys. The Steelers were one. They were one of 29 teams that did vote for the new hybrid kickoff. Guys, we were talking about yesterday, there were three teams that voted against it, but the Steelers were one of the 29 that voted for it. Mike Derpy, here's one thing that crossed my mind that it's kind of a concern, but it's not really a concern, but it's something that's kind of been taken away from the game, this element. The surprise onside kick, I guess you're not going to be able to do the surprise onside kick anymore. I mean, you know, we've seen firsthand where it could be very effective.
Oh, yeah.
Super Bowl 30, first kickoff out of the gate at halftime. Steelers surprise onside kick against Dallas, get the ball back, and we're able to turn the game around, so to speak. So, Mike, I think from what I know, you could still do the onside kick, but it has to be announced and both teams can prepare and get set up for the onside kick. Mike, do you like the element? I like the element of the surprise onside kick, which you could use at any point during the game, which a lot of teams don't. Don't get me wrong. A lot of teams in the NFL don't do this, but I like to have that in my pocket if I need it. What do you think about that, Mike?
I like the surprise onside kick. I hate that they took it away, but if it's going to generate more kick returns, I'm willing to take that trade-off, you know. But at the same time, like, I missed that onside kick. Like you said, that Super Bowl right out the gate, boom. That changed the momentum of the game. You know, that's what got the Steelers back into the game. Like, you know, Pat McAfee made a career part of his stick as, like, the onside, doing the kickoffs, being a punter, was his ability to do the surprise onside kick. So you're taking away a part of, like, some specialty. But, like I said, you know, I want more kick returns in the game, so I'm quasi-okay with it. I'm going to miss it. Because you love that element of surprising. Because, you know, if they happen again in a close playoff game, you know, crazy Dan Campbell would do a surprise onside kick if he could. You would see someone like him do it, or one of the Harbaughs do it. So it sucks, but I want to see these exciting kick returns again.
Derpy, do you like the trick plays on special teams? I'm talking about, like, the fake punt, the surprise onside kick. See, I like the trick plays on special teams. Albeit you don't see them all the time, but when you do see them, it makes the game exciting. Mm-hmm. As far as this goes, Derpy, what do you think? Do you like this? I mean, they're going to be able to do the onside kick, but it's just never going to be able to be a surprise.
I don't. I just feel like it's not football.
Okay. Derpy's kind of an old head when it comes to football, I've noticed.
He is. That's what I like about Derpy.
Yeah.
It's one of the few things I like about Derpy.
He's wise beyond his years.
He is. He understands football, and I love it. And Ron, thanks again.
Yes, thank you, Ron. Greatly appreciated,
Jeez, Ron.
My friend. Thank you, sir.
Hit the refresh button on the YouTube page, and boom, it's smacked me in the face. Another donation.
Right there, it says, "Let's go, Bucks." So we are going to talk a lot of Pirates today, guys. I want to get through this football news. Mike, you did mention Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh is living in a RV, and he has been living in an RV in Los Angeles for, I don't know what they said, about a week, month. I don't know. But Jim Harbaugh living in a RV.
Yeah. I'm sure it's on a beaten down RV. It's probably, like, one of the nicest RVs you'd ever see.
Yeah, exactly. If you're on the highway and you see it pass, you're like, holy shit, look at that. I live in
it's like the John Madden bus.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when who was it when JJ Watt's like, I'm going into the cabin this off season working out in the woods, and they show the picture of this cabin, a multi-million dollar cabin. Like, come on, you guys aren't Rocky. But you know, that is a Harbaugh move. I'm gonna live in my abode down by the river. You know, he's gonna come out and give motivational speeches like Matt Foley.
Yeah. Come live in my abode. See how fast your attitude changes.
Yeah.
Also, the Steelers, guys, here's one that caught my attention. The Steelers tabbed as a possible landing spot for Dak Prescott after this season via WPXI here in Pittsburgh. Of course, we have a lot of things going on, and there's a lot of things on our plate, and we do have a couple brand spanking new quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And, Mike, any interest at all in Dak Prescott? And if you do, why? And if not, why?
He's another one of those quarterbacks that puts up great numbers. Really haven't seen that much in the playoffs. You know, it's the team. But, no, we – right now, if this quarterback experiment we have now that fails, why not? Dax, you know what? He was an MVP candidate last year.
Yeah.
So that's a huge upgrade over trying to get, you know
– Mike, I automatically think Russell he's Wilson a bum. Again.
Yeah.
I automatically think he's a bum because he's a Cowboy. At the end of the day,
you
know, the guy is a good quarterback, and as you said, he was in the running for the MVP. You know, would you like this guy heading your team?
He hasn't gotten it done in the playoffs. That's my big thing.
Right.
It comes down to me for playoff success when I want a quarterback. But the numbers that he's putting up, he would damn well lead to the playoffs. But then once you get there, what are you going to get? Trying to find his win loss. He's 2-5 in the playoffs.
You know, I mean, there was a lot of teams that showed interest, and a lot of teams that has been interested in Kirk Cousins over the past couple of years. And he kind of falls in that same category.
Yeah.
He puts up mad numbers, but the guy just don't get your results, you know, when it counts. But at the end of the day, Mike, you got to ask yourself, how many guys actually do win the Super Bowl? It's, you know, I mean, the past few years, it's been one.
Yeah.
So to say that Dak Prescott or Kirk Cousins or Russell Wilson or whoever it may be doesn't get the job done, well, that's 99% of the league. Does that mean that you could have that guy and you just have to do other things and, you know, build your team and make that team good enough to win it all? So, you know, for a guy like him, and the reason right off the top of my head I say no is because he's a Cowboy. That's why he's a bum to me, because he's a Cowboy. But, you know, if he came here and led us to the playoffs and had a really good season, I would probably, you know, I would support him. And as you said, and I forgot this, he was a candidate for MVP. I mean, that's
– Yeah, he
– You know, when was the last time we had one of them?
A long-ass time. I mean, he's only 30 years old. He's going to be, 31 this season? Career completion percentage of 67%. Last year was 69.5. 36 touchdowns, 9 picks. That's by far his best season in the NFL. 4,500 yards. He proved he can put up numbers. He had 2 years where he was injured, but for the most part, he's played every single game he's been able to play in his career outside of two seasons, and those were two fluke seasons where he was injured. And I wouldn't be opposed to him. You know, I have to sit back, reevaluate him because, you know, he is a Cowboy. I automatically talk shit on him. Like the same thing we did with Russ. You know, I made fun of him because he was in Seattle, made fun of him because he was in Denver, but when he came available, okay, let's break it down. Let's look at his stat lines. Let's take a look at some of the, you know, the highlights in the film and see what's there. I would do the same thing with Dak. Right now, I'd say no just because he was a Cowboy, but, you know, his numbers don't lie. He puts up amazing numbers. But so does Kirk Cousins. So did Matty Ice.
So did Philip Rivers.
But like Ryan said, only a handful of quarterbacks, only two quarterbacks a year go to the Super Bowl and only one wins.
Ron on the board said his sister lives near Dak Prescott in Texas. Says he's a pretty good guy off the field.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it. He's never did anything to make you really think that he's not. Again, it's just he's a Dallas
he's a Cowboy.
Yeah.
Now, if he played his whole career in Pittsburgh, I'd be like, Dak Prescott's the greatest quarterback to have ever lived since Ben Roethlisberger.
Also, Mike, in the NFL, some side news. Vince Young gets knocked out by a sucker punch during a bar fight. What's up with these quarterbacks, these former quarterbacks getting in these brawls all of a sudden? You had last week, it was Cam Newton getting jumped at an event. Yeah. Now you got Vince Young getting knocked out by a sucker punch at a bar.
It's everyone jumping them. Like, you know, they're not going at them one-on-one or, you know, face-to-face. Let's sucker punch
them. These guys are professional athletes.
Let's take four or five guys at Cam Newton. So, yeah. Come on now. Yeah, I saw that footage. I'm like, if I remember correctly, he was just like minding his business and then got punched. Like,
who did Vince Young?
Vince Young, is that what happened? I
didn't see the footage. I just
I could be mistaken with something else I saw, but it seemed like, you know, he was just there. Brawl happens and then someone punches him.
Hmm. Who next? Which quarterback is it going to be next, Mike?
It's not going to be Big Ben because you know he's not allowed in bars anymore.
Yeah,
Maybe Jalen Hurts, maybe Kenny Pickett is going to pay KP. Someone to
he'll break his
Jalen
hand or
some
Hurts. Shit. It would only work if he broke his hand too. You know what I mean? Yeah, I could totally see this. I could totally see this. Poor Kenny.
Poor Kenny. He's catching strays over here. He's not even on my radar anymore. I know. But, you know.
Also, finally, Derpy brought to my attention that the player that we refer to only as Reynolds.
Only as Reynolds. We don't know Reynolds Rapp, Brian Reynolds.
The receiver from Detroit, he goes to Denver. So Denver's still doing little things here and there to resemble a football team. Mike, speaking of Denver, this Simmons, the safety.
Yeah.
Is anybody going to take this guy? He, the beginning of free agency, a lot of teams.
He was the hot name.
He was the hot name. Justin Simmons, 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 Simmons. Now, here we are. I mean, the free agency, we're well over, I think, 3 weeks into this whole thing, all in all. And here goes Reynolds. Simmons. Justin Simmons. Still out there, Mike. Still sitting there, in the Denver organization, waiting for someone to pick him up, sign him, whatever. Does anybody take Simmons at the end of the day? I mean, he's a top safety in the league. We don't have the need. That's the thing that I would consider us, but we just don't have the need for it.
It's surprising that he's still out there. Jamal Adams still out there. He kind of, fell off a little in Seattle, but good player. There's a lot of good safeties out there, and I'm surprised none of them are being picked up.
Maybe they're just too old.
Simmons is still 30. He's still got a couple years left on, especially at safety. He had another monster season. I don't get why he's not being signed, unless, the safety market, is just not paying what it once was. But, you're seeing like Xavier McKinney, he got, 4 years? He signed 4 years for the Giants, $23 million guaranteed. So, I'd rather have Justin Simmons.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. Like the biggest signing for out of the, safeties was, who am I thinking, Jordan Whitehead? It was one of the bigger signings.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
no.
I don't get it. One
on the board also said he wanted us to sign him. You know what? As I said, his free agency, picked up, you figured he would be a name that would move. He's just, he's too good. But again, sometimes when the market is scarce, there could be a year when that's all anybody needs is a safety. This just happens to be a year that, somebody like Justin Simmons isn't needed. But, we brought in Deshaun Elliott, who I'm excited about, Mike. Mm-hmm. I keep seeing more and more about him. He's a hammer. He likes to hit. He's very physical. He's going to be nice in our defense.
Yeah, like you said, he could be that Ryan Clark.
Right.
Make sure you don't get a 15-yard penalty, though.
That's true. You got to be careful where you tackle guys.
We are the Steelers. We are the Steelers. Remember that.
Yeah, the Steelers look at someone wrong and they get a personal foul. But, Simmons, he played 80% of the snaps last year in Denver. He missed two games, but still had three picks, two forced fumbles, 70 tackles. He was still a highly productive safety. I don't know what's going on there.
And that's the thing. Maybe people just aren't regular. Right now it's not the need. They don't feel the need to spend their money on the safety position, which is what you're doing with him. You're going to be paying out a little bit more because, he is one of your better safeties in the league. But as I said, there could be other years where he's such a hot commodity and it's just not the case this year. Guys, let's talk a little bit about these Pittsburgh Pirates. The opening day for the Pittsburgh Pirates, guys, it's today. Derpy, this thing isn't going to be over for how long?
162.
162, baby. Opening day, the Pirates play four against the Miami Marlins. They start today, and then they go on the road for three against Washington. There's going to be a little day off in the middle of that series, I do believe. And then after that, they come home to play the Baltimore Orioles next Friday for their home opener. The game today is at 4:10. Mike, let's talk about these opening day rosters. Let's talk about the opening day rotation. Let's talk about let's talk some Pirates, huh?
Let's talk some Pirates since it's that time of the year where I really want to talk the Pirates for about a day.
All right. Well, here is your
And then
day.
they annoy me.
Today's
They're
the
like,
lucky
come on,
day.
Buckos, let's get it together.
The also, Mike, I also do want to say Andrew McCutchen. He's sitting at home run 299 for his career. The five-time All-Star, four-time Silver Slugger, 2013 MVP. Last season reached his 1,000 career walk mark. He reached his 2,000 hit mark. He reached his 400th double mark, and he's sitting now at 299 home runs. Only one more home run, Mike, and he's sitting at 300. He's going to go down as one of the greatest Pittsburgh Pirates at the end of the day. No two ways about it. How many home runs do you think Andrew McCutchen hits this season, Mike? He's going to be playing, it's going to be similar to last year. He's going to be playing DH. He's going to get his time in it, probably, the corners in the outfield to give other guys a break. I think last year, what do you have? He finished like with 12,
Yeah, that's
14.
what I was looking up just now, and I want to see what he did last year. I can't remember before I make my prediction, before I sound so out of pocket here. He had. I hate trying to find stats for Pirates. Yeah, he had 12 last or no. Yeah, he had 12 last year.
So what do you think?
I'm gonna go 12 again. I think he's still gonna DH, get a decent amount of at bats. I can see another 12 home runs. 10 to 12 in that range.
Derpy, what do you think? How many home runs do you think he's going to hit, Derpy?
I think he's gonna get two more.
Two more?
Yeah,
14?
14.
Okay.
Yep. He went to two home runs.
Yeah.
Oh, like damn, Derpy.
I dig, man. I think that it's going to be a lot of fun this year, as it was last year. A lot of people, there's people talking about the Pirates have a chance of winning this division. Of course, you have the Reds, you have the Dodgers, I'm sorry, the Cardinals, the Cubs, and the Brewers. If it plays out as it looks on paper, we have a chance to be in the race for the division. But as it plays out every year, the summer goes by and our Pirates stink. We had they messed up somewhere back in 2013. They got good for a couple of years. I don't know what they did, but it was very unusual. But we're always optimistic at day one, and here we are, day one, feeling a little optimistic about this baseball team. Mike, I'm going to give you the opening day roster. Now, this roster is kind of impressive to me because let me just go through it, and you're going to see what I'll explain what I'm talking about. Opening day roster, Mike. These are the people that are on the Pittsburgh Pirates right now. Their opening day roster: O'Neal Cruz, Henry Davis, Jason DeLay, the catcher, of course, Key Brian Hayes, Connor Joe, McCutchen, Brian Reynolds, Jack Suwinski, Michael Taylor, who they just brought in, Rowdy Tellez, Jared Triolo, Leika Williams, and Edward Olivares. Mike, there's nobody in that group of names that you don't recognize, and I like that. I like the fact that I
Excuse me.
recognize them because they're all decent ball players. I like the fact that I recognize them because they're not just another name that's that we brought in to fill a space on the team. And take a listen again, Mike. O'Neal Cruz, Henry Davis, Key Brian Hayes, Kutch, Reynolds, Suwinski, Michael Taylor, Jared Triolo. This to me sounds like these are baseball players that I'm naming.
Yeah, that's a good.
That's a
Good
solid lineup.
lineup. That's a solid lineup out there. From one through eight, that's a good lineup.
I
I
agree.
like it. They're
And the names that I didn't mention the second time around being Aliqa Williams, Olivares, and Rowdy Tellez, and Jason DeLay. So I mean, that's your lineup, man. This is what you're going to see every day. And last year, and don't get me wrong, as the season, as the long,
Yeah.
long, long
162.
hot summer, really takes over, and guys start getting injured, and the fatigue wears down a little bit. That's where you start to see all them fill-in names. But Mike, there's nobody's name on this list that I don't want to see. I think that this is a good team. And maybe I'm guilty of being from a city that always has a bad baseball team. But sitting here looking at these names right now, I'm like, I think this is a it's a good baseball team.
It is a good baseball team. The only thing I'm worried about is maybe like the pitching depth.
Yeah.
But right now, like just talking about your, you know, your batters, your fielders, I like what they put together.
We're gonna get into the rotation in a sec, so try to skip
but
over that.
Yeah. That's why I circled back to the lineup. But I like what they did. You know the Buccos aren't gonna go out and make a big splash free agency. Like for us, like the big one was what Michael Taylor.
Right.
And so that was like, oh my God, we did something.
The guy hit 21 home runs last year. Go get him.
Yeah. And like his average wasn't the greatest, but you know, I'll take that pop, I'll take that power. A nice bat to have with him and Sawinski out there. You get some more pop in the lineup. I like that. But like just going through, I like the infield. You Cruz and Triolo. I think that can be a nice combo right there in short and second. Who's going to be first base? Is it Rowdy?
Rowdy Tellez.
Yeah.
And that's what Brian, good morning, Brian on the board just said. He said the Pirates have the worst starting first baseman in the majors. Talking about Rowdy Tellez. I don't know much about Rowdy, Mike and Brian. I just know that he's a big guy. And I know that when they're
270.
He's 270.
Yeah, he's our starting right tackle.
And when the guys that are 270 hit a ball, I know that it goes a long way.
But
so that's what I'm banking on. I'm banking on that if he has a season semi close to what Carlos Santana's was last year, I think we'll be fine with him. He's just got to hit his home run. You're not going to get this guy stealing bases. You're not going to get a triple out of this guy ever. You know, he's going to be 270. He's going to hit the ball. He's going to hit the ball hard. And, you know, if that's what it is, you know, what is it? It's probably the equivalent of a Pedro Alvarez in a sense, because, you know, Pedro didn't do many things well, but what he did really well was he hit the ball over the fence.
Yeah, his best output was in 2022. He had 35 home runs, and then he dropped down to 13 last year.
So 48 home runs over the past 2 years is way more than any of our
Pirates. His batting average sucks. His on-base percentage is not that good. So it's feast or famine. It's a lot of famine with this guy.
Well, I think what the plan is, obviously, we're supposed to have Andy Rodriguez behind the plate.
Yeah.
And I think that the plan is to have Henry Davis at first base.
Yeah.
Which isn't the case. Because Andy Rodriguez is out all season. And how unfortunate that is, especially after we went through what we went through with O'Neill Cruz last year, losing him in the first series of the season. For the season, I mean, these injuries that end these guys' season so early, it's crazy. It really is crazy. Ron on the board said, reminds him of John Kruk. Yeah.
John Kruk has one of my all-time favorite quotes. I think we know what John Kruk looked like. The lady looked at him and goes, man, you're fat for an athlete. He's like, ma'am, I'm a ball player, not an athlete.
That's right.
But hell yeah. Him and David Wells had that perfect body for a baseball player. Can't pull fat, boys. You can't pull fat. That's all I'm saying. But also at first base, too, the Buccaneers on their depth chart have Connor Joe listed at first base as well. So
yeah,
we'll see how the rotation of those two work.
Connor Joe's good if you don't got to play all the time. But the thing about Connor Joe, you have to play him enough for him to be good. He falls in this happy medium that if he's not playing enough, he doesn't play well. But if he plays too much, he doesn't play well.
Yeah.
There's a real fine line with Connor Joe. I like him because when he's productive, he is productive. He could do a lot of different things. But you really have to find his gray area, Mike. Yeah, otherwise.
Yeah. 413 at-bats last year. 11 home runs, 247 average. You go back to 2021, excuse me, at 179 at-bats, 8 home runs, 285 average.
Yeah.
So, like less is more with him. Granted, you know, he played most of that year in Colorado, but still, less is more. All of his stats were better. His batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, everything was better in a smaller sample size.
Absolutely. Mike, the pitchers for opening day are this: David Bednar, of course, Aroldis Chapman, Ryan Burdocchi, Ronzi Contreras, Bailey Falter, Josh Fleming, Marco Gonzalez, Jared Jones, Mitch Keller, Luis Ortiz, Martin Perez, Ryder Ryan, and Hunter Stratton. My problem with the pitching is this. I really feel that they could have did a little bit more as far as going out and getting another arm. I always say, and I believe this very, very dearly, that just as in football, you need your guy under center, you got to have good pitching in Major League Baseball. You have to. I was on Brian's show yesterday, and he asked me, I think I was on Brian's show, and he asked me if I would rather have Paul Skeens or the guy that that went to Baltimore, the other young stud that got drafted.
The fielder from that.
I would rather have Paul Skeens. Yeah. Pitching is so important. If you have pitching, you could throw a lot of different looks in there and win a lot of games because that pitching is so good. If you bring in all hitting and don't worry about pitching, you're still not going to win. You're going to get a bunch of guys with individual records, individual numbers. At the end of the day, you need pitching in the majors. Teams don't go all the way if they don't have pitching. You get into the playoffs, you shorten your rotation. You go with your three top guys to play every other day in the playoffs. You got to have those top three arms in your rotation. I don't think that they did it. I think that they're going to, they're going to fall back on a couple of guys eventually, like Luis Ortiz and Contreras. Once I'll go over the rotation in just a second, but once some of these rotation guys don't pan out, I'm like, I look at this rotation and I'm not thrilled. I don't see a team that's going to win a lot of games because of starting pitching. Mm-hmm. Here's what your rotation looks like. Mitch Keller, who's the ace, who's going on the hill today, who arguably anywhere else, he's not an ace. He could be sitting in a number two and even a number three spot on the roster. Also Martin Perez, Marco Gonzalez, Jared Jones and Bailey Falter. Falter, I'm not thrilled with. They wanted a southpaw at the back end of the rotation. I'm just not thrilled with this rotation, Mike. And, if that's going to be the Achilles heel of this team, that's not a good thing because at the end of the day, that needs to be your strength. And the lack of going after that guy in this offseason, that's kind of disturbing as well because, again, you need to starting pitching. We got a third best bullpen in the league. However, our starting pitching leaves a lot to be desired. Falter, I haven't been satisfied with Bailey Falter since he got here last year. I know they like going with that lefty at the end of the rotation. Mike, this rotation, what do you think?
I don't like it. Like you said, Bailey Falter was 2-9 last year. 5.36.
Like he came here with no wins.
He's bad.
He was like 0-7 when he got here. And all of a sudden, it was like, oh, we got Bailey Falter. Let's throw him in the rotation.
Yeah.
Bro, you're 0-7.
Yeah. And then we had Perez, good record last year, 10-4, but coming up from the Texans. And, how's that going to carry over? Or the Texans? The Rangers, excuse me. Got my sports mixed up. How, with our offense, what's his record going to be? So that's
which we may have an okay offense.
I hope we do because, like I said, a half run more, we have a top 10 offense. So, but if Falter, no. Gonzalez, no. Jones, he's a rookie. How's he going to, how's he going to fare and hold up? He's only 22 years old. Is he going to come in and be lights out or, is this going to be the stage too bright right now for him?
Two things that could possibly help this rotation during the season is if Quinn Priester starts playing to his ability in the minors. Yeah. He was a high pick, and he's projected to be a starter one day. And then also maybe around the All-Star break is the date that I keep hearing for possibly seeing Paul Skeens. If you're worried about this guy, he is a man amongst boys. The guy's going to go out there. He's a lot of people, as you said, Mike, in an earlier show, people compare him in a sense to Ohtani. The guy hit 24 home runs in the minors or in LSU. I'm sorry.
Yeah, LSU. Yeah.
This dude, he's a baller. I think he would be fine. Cap him at some point, maybe, keep track of, limit his innings, maybe at the end of the year, maybe cut him shorter, something. But at some point, I think you have to get Paul Skeens out there. But if those two things happen during the course of the year with Quinn Priester and Paul Skeens and Mitch Keller being your 1-2-3 in the rotation, and maybe one of these other guys, maybe Martin Perez has an okay season, that's 1-4 now where you have, a decent rotation. So, to start, I'm not happy with it, but eventually I think it can be a nice rotation. Again, I fault the Pirates for not going out and getting at least one more arm. Dodgers have a surplus. Spend a couple bucks, go out and get one of them arms, bring them here, and secure that spot. They're always just one move short, the Pirates.
They are, yeah. And now would have been this would have been the time to add to that rotation. Like you said, spend the money in free agency.
Yes.
You know, you overpay for one of those guys out there that failed to find that big long-term contract. Try to get him on a short one-year deal that, you know, would be easy to move, but, you know, a high dollar amount. Try and sweet talk him. Something, and they didn't do that because you have, on paper, you should have a decent rotation by the All-Star break. You know, if Keller can keep pitching the way he can pitch, if Jones pans out the way we hope he does, if Skeens, if they call him up early enough, let him pitch a month down in the minors, then bring him up. You know he's going to be ready. And then, like you said, if Clint Priester can live up to that first-round pedigree, you know, if he can do that,
not one of these wimps.
Good pitchers.
He's not one of these wimps. That, you know, when I say wimps, I mean these guys that are, you know, that are pitchers in the majors. They're wimps. They got the coat over their arm, which, again, I understand it's standard, but you know what I'm saying. I'm kind of being a guy, and you know these guys that with the coats over their arm and the guys that need pinch runners. The fact of the matter is, he's not your traditional pitcher. This guy is a bulldog, Mike. He could come in. Yep. And I think he could cause a lot of damage, and I think it could, you know, it could go along just fine.
Yeah, he reminds you of what's his name? We picked up during the run, playoff run. Oh my god!
What position? What
the pitcher? Batman.
Oh, AJ.
AJ Burnett. Thank you. Yeah, he reminds you of AJ Burnett. That demeanor of like I'm here to kick ass and take names,
but a lot better of an athlete.
Yeah,
the mentality. I agree.
The mentality, like that, and that's the kind of mentality like this pitching staff needs. Keller is not that guy.
And you got to remember too, AJ hit some home runs, so maybe there are some similarities.
Yeah, let Paul Skeens take a couple of ABs. You know, like
I would say so. I wouldn't even go DH on the day he plays. I let him hit. The guy again hit 24 home runs at LSU. I always say to myself, whatever happened to that guy? You know, we could all relate when you're playing Little League and he was just good at everything.
Yeah.
He pitched, and yet he was still the best hitter on the team. And yet he was still the best at this. And, you know, the guy just knew how to play better than everybody else.
That's just, you know, how baseball is. I always hate that. Like,
and I always say to myself,
specialized
what happened?
As everything.
What happened to that guy? What happened to that player that was just the best athlete? He went out there. He pitched the best. He hit the best. You're finally starting to see that player bleed into the majors, Mike, with Ohtani and possibly Paul Skeens. And I'm ready for that. I
would love to see that, but like these teams, man, I get why they do it because you know they want to protect their investment as a pitcher. They don't want him getting hit by a wild pitch, stuff like that, getting hurt running the base path. I understand it, but at the same time, if you have someone who can hit as well, let them hit on their off days. You know, don't put them as a fielder and let them DH.
Around the division, guys, the Cincinnati Reds, they host the Washington Nationals today. The Cardinals go out to L.A. to play the Dodgers.
Oh.
The Cubs travel down to Texas to play the Rangers. And tomorrow, the Brewers and the Mets kick off their season in New York. Mike Derpy, guys on the board, give me I'm gonna get two predictions from you guys before we move on. We still got plenty to talk about and go over today. Again, we have March Madness picking back up. We got the Pens back in action tonight. So let's get your predictions. Mike, I need a prediction for today. Do the Pirates win their opener? And B, what do you think the Pirates are going to fall? This is the opening day prediction. Where do you think the Pirates fall at the end of the year when it's all said and done? What's their record going to be? Mike, first off, do the Pirates win today?
You know what? I'm feeling in a very good mood. I am going to take the Pirates for a win.
Derpy, what do you think? Pirates win today or no?
Pirates win today.
All right. Also, guys, I need your prediction on the season. We have to do it. It's opening day. There's no way around this. Mike, what do the Pirates you don't have to give me an exact number, I guess. Give me, you know, if you think 500, 5 games over 500, 10 games under 500. Mike, where does this Pirate team – looking at them on opening day, we don't know how the season's going to turn out. We don't know who's going to get hurt. We don't know who's going to do well. Mike, right now, day one of 162, where do the Pirates finish this season?
I'm going with about like a game or two over 500.
Okay.
And that's like, what, a six-game improvement for the Buccos?
And I'm seeing that a lot. I'm going to be honest.
You know, I,
But I'm saying
I think that's a good step for them, and I think that will put them second in the division.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You could probably win a lot of money if you put money on this Pirates team to win the division at this point, I'm guessing. I didn't look at the numbers.
Neither have I. I haven't checked.
If you go put a nice, you know, stack on the Pirates, who knows? You might win some
may or dollars. May not.
Derpy, what do you think? Where do you think this team's going to finish this year?
Probably the same one Mike's in.
Couple games over?
Yeah, but a second or third in division.
Okay. Who do you guys got winning the division? I mean, it's always
I got the Cubbies, unfortunately.
It's always a safe thing to say the Brewers. Yeah. The thing about the Brewers, they just never win the World Series, but they can certainly win the division. Who do you guys, Mike? Reds, Cardinals, Cubs, Brewers, Pittsburgh. Which one of these teams do you see winning the division?
I'm going to go with the Brew Crew again this year. I think they're going to get it. Be surprised if your top three are the Brewers, Pirates, Cubs in some order.
Derpy?
I'm going Cubbies and then Reds.
I would take the Reds if I was to pick another team. However, I'm going to pick the Pirates. I'm going to be a homer today because it's day
there
one.
There you go.
There you go.
And so the Pirates are going to be my team to win the division. My alternative team is going to be the Reds. They got a lot of good things going on. I know they got a young stud like O'Neill Cruz over there. And you got to watch these Reds. They were tough last year as well. So that is it for the Pittsburgh Pirates, guys. They throw out the first pitch today at 4:10 in Miami, Florida. So if you want to watch opening day of the Pittsburgh Pirates, again, they come home next Friday to play Baltimore in their home opener. But between then and now, we've got four games against Miami, three games against Washington, and then at the end of next week, we do start the weekend with the Baltimore Orioles. Tough series at home. Them guys are always tough over there. Guys, let's jump into the Pittsburgh Penguins, Mike. The Penguins, they're back on the road, or they're back at home tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Penguins coming in with a 31-30-10. Record, Mike. They do, in fact, have 11 games. I pulled up their schedule. I looked. 11 games left starting tonight. They're on a two-game Blue Jacket streak because, again, on Saturday, they traveled to Columbus to play them over there. The rest of their schedule looks like this, Mike. Your Pittsburgh Penguins for their remaining 11 games are it's home Columbus, at the Rangers, at the Devils, at the Capitals, four games in a row on the road. Ooh. Home for Tampa Bay, at Toronto, home for Detroit, home for Boston, home for Nashville, and then as usual, they finish up against the Islanders on the road. Mike, these next after tonight, they play at home against Columbus. The next four games, I think this is where it's gonna really. Don't get me wrong, I think the season's already decided.
Yeah.
But yeah. At Columbus, at the Rangers, at the Devils, at Washington, these next four games after tonight, it gets pretty tough. Mike, does this team show any sign of life, or are you just going to kind of see this roller coaster ride out the rest of the year?
You know what? If they play the way they did against Carolina, if you scratch the players that you scratch, you play these younger guys that brought some of that energy that this team has been lacking all year, I can see them winning more than they lose, but not that many more. I don't think they're going to collapse now. I think if the moves weren't made,
this team,
they kept running
the
out the
day.
Same roster. It would have been terrible.
Kuznetsov, Gensel, Brent Burns, Jordan Staal. I would have never in a million, if I was a gambling man, I would have never in a million years put my money on the Penguins the other night. This is arguably the best team in the league.
Yeah.
Talent pound for pound. They go and they beat this team 4-1. This team they're just so unpredictable, Mike. I don't know if they're capable of putting those thoughts together and what you just said to have a semi-successful rest of the season. It's going to be tough, Mike. A 1-1 with Columbus, the Rangers, the Devils, the Washington Capitals on the road, Tampa Bay at home, Toronto, Detroit, Boston, Nashville, Islanders. I think this is going to be ugly the rest of the way, Mike. I don't think that there's going to be enough incentive and motivation to actually want to make it respect. Why I just don't, Mike. I think they're done. I think their season is done, and that's the way it feels in that locker room.
I think they sweep Columbus. Right. They go to Toronto, and Sid's gonna shit all over Toronto because he loves playing in there because he hates Toronto. Boston's gonna be a loss. We always play terrible against them. Tampa Bay is going to be a loss. Devils is going to be a loss. Washington, that's a toss-up. Even though Washington is in the hunt, or I think they have a wild card spot right
The
now.
Rangers on the road.
Rangers is going to be a tough one, but I think they can pull that one out.
Nashville.
Fuck Nashville. We're winning that one out of spite principle.
But that is, guys, that's your last 11 games.
It's going to be a tough road, but I think they're going to
end on a positive note.
And on a positive note, better than last year's collapse.
On the bright side, Mike, they do finish up with the Islanders. That's always a good thing.
Yeah.
But the Islanders have been giving us trouble lately.
Yeah.
It's weird. It seems like one game they do, and then the next game we just blow them out.
You know, I say that, but then I'm looking back through the win-loss streaks, and there's a lot of – I think the longest win streak they had was five games. Oh, wow. They had one five-game win streak, a couple threes, and then a lot of win-loss.
So this looks like
– I may have been off more than I could chew. I got optimistic from after that last –
This
after
team,
that
they went to the
game.
Playoffs for 17, 18 straight years, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Now they're in danger of missing the playoffs for the second straight year in a row. So whatever needs to be done, it needs to be done. They brought in Dumas. They, you know, they got some wheels moving. So let's see what they do next. Let's see what they do moving into next season.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, one other side note that I do have on the Penguins, Jake Guentzel, he hinted at a potential re-signing with Pittsburgh. He's going to be a free agent after this year. And after the game in comments in an interview, he hinted at a possible return to the Penguins. Mike, do you see this happening?
No, I don't see it happening. Going to cost too much for too long. And they already have a lot of contracts that are too much, too long. I don't think they're going to add another one back to
it. I think that, Mike, sometimes I just think at the end of the day, these old guys, it's almost time to unload them or.
Yeah, it, like
there's
if
a
you
lot
have
of
to,
money tied up with these four old men.
You gotta, you have to get them to waive their no movement clause. That might be tough.
This might be the biggest problem. At
Yeah,
the end of the day, it might be the fact that they're occupying so much on this team where you can't get other things done.
That's why, like when everyone was all happy and giddy, we re-signed Malkin and Letang. I was not because I knew this situation we would be in. Like you can't go out and make this team better. Everyone's like, oh, we want to, you know, keep these guys around, but we also want to win stuff for Sid.
Right.
If you want Sid to get another Stanley Cup, you had to jettison these older guys and these bloated contracts and build a younger, faster team around them.
And
so where you could have kept Guentzel, and then you could have added other pieces with the money that you're saving from letting Malkin and Letang have walked. So,
you know, and these guys, Mike, I mean, they've been the four Stanley Cups. They've won three Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
I mean,
they had a hell of a run. Just
how
you know,
dead do they
to
have
end.
To be
exactly
before you stop beating them? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at some point, Malkin isn't doing the great things that he used
no.
to do anymore. And
they're
you know, they're aging out. And you got to think about, you know, do you want the team to play better or do you want to keep going in awe and watching these four guys play just because you like them?
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough decision. Don't get me wrong. It's, you know, it's not an easy one.
Yeah.
Especially here in Pittsburgh because people love these guys. They love these stars for the Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, any move they make, it's going to be a wrong move because at the end of the day, you got to get better. And at the end of the day, it's going to be hard to get better because there's so much money occupied by these four hockey players where it's not allowing the team to improve by spending money. So
I would have rather have watched Malkin lip to the finish line of his career on another team. Same thing with Letang, then watch them limp to a finish line on this team and hold my team back. And that's what's happening.
It's so
sucks,
weird.
But you got to let these guys go.
As unproductive as it is, Mike, you know, they just want these guys to keep coming out because they want to say Malkin's on their team. And so
and
it's going to be a tough decision anyway you slice it.
Yeah, you got these fans that are like, oh, this is what they deserve. They deserve to all retire together. But then on the other side of their mouth going, oh man, we're wasting this great year of Sidney Crosby. Well, yeah, that's what happens when you keeping guys around that are more or less dead weight.
Mike, the thing is about Sidney Crosby, he could be playing 10 times and he's better than he's playing now, which he's playing magnificent for his age. He could be playing 10 times better. This team's still not going to win because you have these other things and issues and problems going on.
Like Crosby, he's about to break Wayne Gretzky's record for most consecutive season with a point per game average.
Yeah.
The Malkin has what 19 goals, 34 points in 71 games, 58 penalty minutes. And he's just a killer, you know? Letang's having an up and down year, more bad nights than good. It's just,
Right.
it's terrible. Karlsson hasn't been that great. It hasn't been that power play guy that we thought he was going to be. It's just terrible.
People want their cake and they want to eat it too,
Yep.
which I at the end of the day, I mean, I understand. I get it.
I get it too, but at the same time, I want the team to succeed more than I care about like all these guys staying here and retiring
Right.
for their career here.
Maybe the first couple of years was fun, but like I said, now you're going into
Now
the second
it's like
year.
no, like I want my team to win and
You're
they're
going into a
holding.
third season now, just missing the playoff, missing playoffs for 2 years in a row. Now you start to look at things a little differently. Now you start to
Yep.
say, well, you know what? I mean, we can do without Malkin. He was a Penguin for his whole career. He won three
Yeah.
Stanley Cups here. Let him, if he goes to,
Yeah.
way to go to Calgary or wherever, you can say, all right, that's respectable. Because at the end of the day, we had to watch Marc-Andre Fleury do it. And at
Yeah.
the end of the day, he's became the second best goalie in the history of the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're not going to die. It's not going to be the end of the world if these guys leave. And
Yeah.
also, Mike, if there's any other solution, which people suggest maybe going with a new coach, which I'm never against, but you're going to have to find a coach who's willing to come in and turn four old men into a Stanley Cup competitor once again. I just don't know if
Yeah.
that coach is out there. You always see change when you see change in coaching, but I just don't know if that coach
Yeah.
is out there, Mike, that could get that
Well,
done.
the only way to do that would be to tell them, like, this is the system and structure we're playing in, and this is how we're playing. We're not playing, speed game because you guys can't have the defenseman. You're not activating for all 60 minutes. We're going to play smart, scored, situational hockey, which that's what Sullivan refuses to do is to adjust his playing style. He'll do it for a game here or there and it works, but then they go back to the same system of we're just going to outskate everyone because that's what
Why
won
does
us
Sidney
Stanley
Crosby
Cups.
not step up? Because, I mean, the guy has more power than
Yeah.
Mike Sullivan. Don't get me wrong, in this organization, why doesn't he step up at some point and say, hey, coach, this isn't working. Let's try this, or say to the players, guys, this is what the coach is saying. Let's do what I'm what why is that leadership not being displayed by
I
Crosby?
don't know. I don't know if he's saying that stuff or not. I know like they caught footage of him on the bench, like Sullivan was saying something to him, and Crosby just kind of like, gave that arm wave to him. And you've never seen Crosby do that to a coach before.
Right.
So I don't know if there's a disconnect there of, coach, what we're doing is not working. Let's try something different. Or Sullivan saying, hey, let's do this. And Crosby's like, no, I have a feeling it'd be like, Crosby's that kind of guy. I think if the coach tells him that this is what we're doing, he's gonna do it. He
All
doesn't
right,
seem to
so
be
if you
that
want to
malcontent,
watch the
but we'll
Penguins
see.
play, they play tonight at 7 p.m. They host the Columbus Blue Jackets, Penguins with a 31-30-10 record. In danger of missing the playoffs for 2 years in a row. Columbus comes in with a 23-37-12 record. You could catch them immediately after the Pirates. The Pirates start at 4:10 today, which Ron on the board says he thinks that they're going to finish 5 games under, or 4 games under 500. I'm sorry. They
That
play
would
at 4:10.
be an
The
improvement.
Penguins come directly after that. They played 7. So it is going to be a lot of good sports in Pittsburgh today. Mike, we got to get over to the NCAA because the March Madness picks back up today. It's 7:09, all late games the rest of the way. The first game of the week today is number 6 Clemson at number 2 Arizona, or versus number 2 Arizona. I'm sorry. That game is at 7:09. The second game is number 5 San Diego State versus number 1 UConn. This game's at 7:39. The third game is number 4 Alabama versus number 1 North Carolina. This is a 9:39 start tonight. And finally, number 3 Illinois, who knocked off Duquesne last week, plays against number 2 Iowa State. That game is at 10:09. Those are your four games. Your teams will be cut in half in that half of the games tonight. Tomorrow, back at it, of the 4-day March Madness weekend, day two brings number 6 Clemson versus Arizona at number 2. They are a 7:09 start. All games are the same time, if you're wondering, as the games that are today. Number 3 Illinois versus number, I'm sorry, where am I at? Number 3 Illinois versus number 2. Did I already read that?
Yes, you did.
Okay, here I am. Here I am. Number 5 Gonzaga versus number 1 Purdue. That game is at 7:39. Duke coming in with a number 4 seed against the number 1 Houston, 9:39, which I think is going to be the best game. It should be the best game of the weekend. And finally, the last game, the 10:09 game tomorrow, is number 3 Creighton versus number 2 Tennessee. We got 16 teams by the end of this, these next 2 days. It'll be 8 teams by the end of the weekend. You will have your final four. which will bleed into next week where you have your final four games played. And I do believe the national championship is next Sunday. I know they used to always play it on Mondays, but for some reason I remember reading it's on Sunday this year. So one of these 16 teams, guys, are going to be your national champions this year. Mike Derpy, let's kind of do a quick go over for today's games. Clemson, number 6 Clemson versus number 2 Arizona. Mike, who do you like in this game?
I'm going to go with, let's say, Clemson with an upset.
All right. Derpy, number 6 Clemson, number 2 Arizona.
Clemson.
All right. Number 5 San Diego State, number 1 UConn. Mike.
Oh, let's go with UConn, baby.
Derpy.
UConn.
All right. Number 4 Alabama versus number 1 North Carolina.
Let's go Tar Heels, baby.
Derpy?
Tar Heels.
And finally, the last game of the day, it's 10:09 start, number 3, Illinois versus number 2, Iowa State. Mike, who do you like in this one?
I'm taking Illinois.
Three matchup. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, I'm taking Illinois. They look really, really good first two
Derpy?
Rounds.
Illinois?
Big 10, Illinois.
All right, I'm going Iowa State in this one. I think they're hungry. But there you go, guys. 7:09, 7:39, 9:39, and 10:09 are your game times. If you plan on watching any NCAA March Madness tonight, it does kick back off for the weekend tonight all the way through Sunday of the weekend. And then tomorrow, again, 4 more games. They'll do it all over again. And as I said, they'll be cut down to 8. And then the weekend will bring more. So there you go, guys. March Madness. Mike, why don't you tell us about the website?
TheTudumHinges.com. Over there, check us out. You got a section on there that has all of mine and Ryan's social media links. We got the merchandise store over there. We got further the links to our YouTube channel over there, which obviously you're here, and our Spotify channel, which, you know, you want to check us out on Spotify, the link's there as well. And we also have the blog over there. Tomorrow is Friday, and I should have a new blog post over there up there about the Pittsburgh Pirates, baby.
There you go. Go check it out, everybody. It's a lot of good things going on over our website, www.the2dumyinzers.com. That's www.the2dumyinzers.com. Ron on the board. Have a great day, sir. Good luck. Thank you. All right. So before I get into the question of the day, Mike, I did want to bring up this one last quick story. Ice Cube offers Caitlin Clark $5 million to join the Big 33 League. He says it's totally doable that she would still be able to play in the WNBA full-time. Caitlin Clark, 3-on-3, the Big 3 League. Mike, what do you think? $5 million.
On paper, like, yeah, take that, get my WNBA salary, get my endorsement that I'll get by being in the WNBA and for, you know, what I did in college. But what if she flounders in that league? Like, what if, you know, like, you know, going up against former pros, she can't hold her own? Will she lose endorsements down the line? But on the other hand, if she balls out, that could give her, you know, opportunities for even greater endorsement. So I don't know where I stand on this. If I was her, I don't know what I would do. Yeah, $5 million right now, that's great. But can that hurt your long-term earnings potential?
Hey,
smart
P.
Smart move, Brian.
Mike, I need you to stop for just a minute. I see P on the board. I want to say, hey, P. How you doing, brother?
What's up, P?
I was just thinking about you the other day, man. I'm glad you wrote today. I was worried, my man. North Carolina, yes. You know, I am going to root for North Carolina State because they are a team that Pitt beat twice. Pitt gets snubbed from the tournament, and I like everything that North Carolina State has been able to do over the past 2 weeks. And I just want them to win because I want to say the team that Pitt beat twice during the season won the national championship. But yes, P, I'm going to be rooting for North Carolina State amongst a couple other teams. But most of all, I do want to say welcome, P. Brian on the board says I'm with Mike. Caitlin Clark will get exposed for how much better men are in basketball. You know, at the end of the day, I say, yes, you got to take the $5 million because at the end of the day, that's what's best for you. You take that $5 million. I don't know what the girls get paid over in WNBA, but I don't think that it's a lot. I think if
Right.
you're a smart person, and Brian and I know what kind of where you're coming from, because you and I we texted while the game was on the other night and we watched Iowa, and she didn't play great. And I think what these guys are saying is there's a chance that she might, not play good, and it will affect her career in the WNBA. But on the other hand, has there really been any signs since she's been in college that she's not going to play well moving forward? Even if
No.
she goes through a time spell, a time where she doesn't play to her potential, or she goes through a time where, she does get dominated by somebody who's more experienced. But at the end of the day, she's not really shown signs of failing.
All right.
No, but like my big concern is like she can. There's guys on the men's side in the NCAA that she could probably beat one on one. But going up against guys who played in the NBA, who, at that high level, how would she be able to hold her own?
You know, it's PJ
that would be the
before.
thing, is like she can, shoot those, long range jumpers, but how, they're going to be more aggressive on defense than she's used to.
Now, I'm not
those
real
type of
familiar,
things.
Mike, with the big three. Do they have women as well?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I thought it was just a bunch of old, former pros that
I'm not
the
real
league.
Familiar either. But
Yeah,
I
think,
gotta say, for a smart business move on her part, you take the $5 million and
right.
you go play. Hell, you might learn a thing or two. And again, she's a good ball player. At
yeah.
the end of the day, she's gonna be fine in the WNBA.
Yeah.
I gotta say, when she gets there, I think she's gonna do just fine. Whether, she doesn't play to her, she seems like a baller to me. Again, we could
Yeah.
have this debate all day long, but I say take the money and run. You go to the
Yeah, take
go
the
to
money
the
and
go
like
to the
you said,
big
right?
three, play,
Yeah.
get $5 million, and then go play your career in the WNBA. I don't think that it's going to be so bad to the point that it's going to destroy her endorsement opportunities.
Yeah.
I think it's only going to improve it. It's going to make her more visible. It's going to get her out there more. And people right now, they want to watch Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, because she can shoot the ball, man. Whew.
Oh, without a
Yes.
doubt.
She has an
freakishly.
Unbelievable range.
All right, let's jump into this trivia question, guys. Yesterday, you remember the question was, do the Pirates have more wins or losses on opening day? Guys, this is going to be a real similar question. Here we go. On the board, Derpy, Mike, let's do this. Do the Bucks have more wins or losses on the road on opening day? Because they are on the road to start off this baseball season. Do the Pirates have more wins or losses in their team history on opening day on the road? I'm going to give you the numbers. You think about it for a minute, guys. The numbers are 54 wins, or I'm sorry. Well, I'm going to say 54 and 46. 54 wins was not correct. I was just reading something that was connected to that. 54 and 46 are your two numbers. Do the Pirates in their franchise history have more wins or losses on the road on opening day? Again, the numbers are 54 and 46. We're live, everybody. We're live 5 days a week right here, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The show we do live every single day. We upload over on Spotify and podcast form at 8 o'clock p.m. If you're not able to catch a show, maybe you're at the gym, maybe you're in the car, you just put your earbuds in. You could always go to Spotify and listen to the podcast over there. But we are, again, we're live every day, all through the week, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Question of the day, guys. Similar to yesterday's question, do the Pirates have more wins or losses on the road on opening day in their franchise history? The numbers are 54 and 46. 54 and 46. Which one of those falls in the win column for the Pittsburgh Pirates on opening day on the road? I'm going to start with you, Mike. What do you think? They have more wins or more losses on opening day on the road?
I'm going to go with more losses.
More losses. So you think they got 46? All right. So let me go over to Derpy. Derpy, what do you think?
I'm going to go with losses as well.
Losses as well. 54 losses and 46 wins. All right. Looks like it's it, guys. Let's go ahead and go through this. And do the Bucks have more wins or more losses on the road on opening day? Both of the guys on the on the show said more losses. Of course, they start their season today on the road. Might be. Their record is 54-46 on the road on opening day in the history of this team.
Wow.
So that just goes to show you, if I ask the question next week with home games, you know it's going to be the opposite.
Yeah, I gotta remember that. But I'll forget. My short-term memory is not what it used to be.
Guys, anything before we get ready to take off?
Let's go Buccos. I'm hoping they'll have a winning record this year, but my God, that rotation is scaring me. That bullpen needs a little upgrading as well. But, you know, it's opening day. Opening day. Until an injury happens, right? I just have that feeling.
Yeah.
It's pit my stomach, but I'm trying to be optimistic. So, the Buccos finished a little bit above 500. That's all I got. Let's go, Buccos. It's the one day where I can be excited.
Darby, anything before we get ready to take off?
Two words. Play ball.
Oh, I thought he was going to say.
I thought he was going to say 162.
I thought he was going to say P. Diddy, but.
And 162.
No Diddy.
Well, my comment was about P. Diddy. P. Diddy's accuser adds Cuba Gooding Jr. to the sexual assault lawsuit. So, guys, you are starting to see this thing unravel. It's going to get ugly. Who knows what names? Who knows what's going on? I just know they have tunnels under the ocean and sex trafficking and whatever they got going on, guys. It's not good. Yeah. And they're starting to fall like dominoes just the other day. P. Diddy, now Cuba Gooding Jr. thrown in the mix. I think a lot of people are going to go down, guys.
I was reading stuff too, Ryan, about that too. There's people being named in the lawsuit that, they're not the way like you read headlines. I think Prince Harry was involved or Prince Williams was named in the lawsuit, but you read right through it, it's like. Just because he knew Kanye or something like that. And so there's going to be people that are be catching strays that had nothing to do with it. And you got people like Cuba Gooding Jr. that look like they're really in it too. So it's going to be one of those ones where you got to dig through and find the actual. So it's going to be
Just wait it out, man. It's all going to come to light.
It's going to be wild. It is going to be wild.
P, I do want to say welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. We are certainly paying a lot of attention to your Wolfpack. It's certainly nice to hear from you. I was worried about you, man. Let's see what else P said. He said Clark, she still got the cartilage in her knees. Diddy did it. P says on the board. Diddy did it.
When they raid every single property that you own, you're guilty of something.
Yeah, something's going on. They don't just do that for no reason, right?
No, not because they're bored.
We do want to thank everybody for checking us out and coming to hang out. We do appreciate each and every one of you guys. We wouldn't do it without you, believe me. And everybody on the board, you guys always keep things interesting. Thank you. Thank you for participating as always. We hope that you'll be back tomorrow. Mike, anything else before we roll, brother?
I got nothing, man. But, thanks for everyone tuning in. Ron, again, thank you for the donation. P, welcome back, brother.
Yes. And it's great to hear from everybody as always. Yes. Derpy, speak now. Forever hold your peace, man.
162, baby.
162. There we go.
Now we can end the show.
There we go. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Guys, have a great one. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again for the Two Dumb Yinzers. Mike in the Steeler Central Mobile Studio for Derpy, myself. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No.